It's Wednesday, January 10th, and the Green Bay Packers have a GM in place, Brian Gutekunst. We'll listen to Charlie try to mess that name up as much as possible. But who should be the Packers' next defensive coordinator? Over to the Bucks, they get blown out by Indiana Monday night, and it seems like it's one step forward and two steps back with this team. When will the upswing start? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE, and at SnowTabWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to another edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 267. Charlie here with you. Mitch on the ones and twos. How we doing today?
Good. Good. Great. Great. Grand. Wonderful. Awesome.
Yes. Little frustrations are mounting in Milwaukee Bucks land. Like always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SnowTapWI. You can find Mitch Ross, Mitch Ross, MKE, as it says in the open. We also are on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You listen to Tapping the Keg as well as Daily Tap, our daily podcast that supplements Tapping the Keg. It is all there for you. So we have a good show tonight. And talking about the Packers news, as well as some Buck stuff, and then a little bit of hot stove to end it. Mitch has already said he's feeling good, but as we mentioned on Twitter today, we're feeling a little angsty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't like to be down 37-16 after one quarter.
Well, yeah, and we're going to talk about the Bucks later, but I texted you this morning.
I mean, I'm doing good in general.
And yeah, that's good to hear. Glad to hear that. It's weather
finally broke, yeah. And we can actually wear not necessarily have to wear a big winter jacket.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
And I said to you, I texted you, I'm like, have we done a podcast that like we're not like all mopey about yeah. the Bucks? Like it feels like every time ridiculous. We head into the studio, we are just moping our way through it. And yeah, I mean, if you listen to the Daily Tap on Saturday, I'm pissed off about the Toronto game. And then you listen to the hungover one on Sunday, and I'm encouraged by the Bucks. I might not be enthusiastic because I was a little hungover, but you know that was there. So
yeah.
So we're gonna get into that a little later. But first, the all sorts of Packer news, starting with most prevalent at the moment with the defensive coordinator, as the Packers have already got their GM Brian Gutekunst. Ah man, this is gonna be bad. I'm gonna tell you this right now. Gutekunst, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's gonna be brutal.
I'm gonna give you a ding when you get it right. When you get it right.
When I get it right?
Yeah.
All right.
It was your idea.
I know it was. This was a bad idea. So what if I'm gonna try again. Gutekunst.
Nah, not quite. Gutekunst.
Gutekunst.
Gutekunst. There Gutekunst. You go. There we go. Ding 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 ding.
All right, cool. Awesome. So they got that.
You got it right once. That's all we asked for.
They got Brian in there. BG as or Goody. Probably I'm gonna
Gutsy
go,
boy.
Gutsy boy. but yeah, that's a little inside joke for some of you. Some of you will laugh at that. Others of you will be like, what the hell are they doing? They're off to a pretty weird start. So we talked about on Daily Tap earlier this week. You know, he gets the job. Is it a surprise? What was your sort of reaction? I didn't really care because I think it's a dice roll no matter which guy you're bringing in.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise because Russ Ball seemed to be, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered on that.
I feel like,
according to all the reports.
And see, and that's, I had thought.
But I will say that it does seem like Mike McCarthy won a power struggle. Does it not?
Yeah, there's
which
a lot.
Which is very interesting.
There's a lot
there.
I
don't know if that's X-Files music, conspiracy type stuff.
No, it isn't. Because,
you know, McCarthy, the reports came out that McCarthy and Ball it had a falling out in the recent years. Didn't see eye to eye on things, and the report came out that McCarthy would quit, which I don't think is true.
No,
I think he's way too proud to walk out. But
yeah,
you had that,
great Uncle then, Bob dipped into the whiskey for that one.
Chuck's all the way done with Bob McGinn.
I don't want to go there. I'm just gonna call him. I'm just calling him Great Uncle Bob. And when Great Uncle Bob dips into the whiskey to get subscribers, we'll make that where. Right. And that's all we have to know him as, Great Uncle Bob.
Yeah. He probably does get a decent following by bashing the organization.
Absolutely he does. He did it today with Ron Wolf getting right. quotes. Like, yeah, that guy isn't biased that they didn't pick his fucking kid. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no
don't
kidding.
See, don't just don't get me started. You're you're needling me and you're getting me to try to get on a rant. I'm not gonna do it.
So, and then they also reportedly tried to interview John Schneider, which I think was McCarthy's boy.
Right. And then, everyone loves John Schneider. I think that's
I think it's a little spicy. Yeah. That it's kind of like, what's John Schneider done lately?
I had that spicy. That was the take I had. I think I'm not disagreeing with you that the fact
he did what. Okay, so this is basically the biggest key to success in the NFL. You need one hell of a draft class.
Yep.
And if you can't build off, which is what happened with Ted Thompson. Am I wrong?
No.
He had a good draft class in like 2009 and 2010. He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was actually
basically right away.
I was actually really sold on the idea of Reggie McKenzie, only for the fact that Reggie did a great job of building an offensive line, and that the secondary was an issue, but he took some swings on guys like Sean Smith,
Reggie Nelson,
David Amerson, and Reggie Nelson. All these guys just
had a couple. He drafted DJ Hayden in the first round. Yeah, he's now gone.
I think he's with the Lions.
Yeah. He was a bust.
So, yeah. So, he's had some swings and misses
in his most
secondary.
Recent secondary or first-round pick was a secondary guy, too. Gary and Conley.
The guy from Ohio State who had all
and
the
And also
the
Carl
issues.
Joseph the year before.
And those guys, none of those guys are paying.
I'm not too sure about Carl Joseph. I don't really
Carl Joseph was supposed to be like a big hitter, big stick.
Right.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, these are all McCarthy's boys. And I think what happened there was – I don't think it was a falling out with Ball. I just think McCarthy wanted the chance to get veteran players in there and less of the undrafted rookies and more of – and I saw this take from somebody, but more of just the veterans who are 8 or 9 years and they're on a 1-year deal or they're on a 2-year deal and just sort of savvy pickups for bench depth. And you're like, oh, this guy who's played with 3 or 4 different teams, but, yeah, he's making an impact with the Packers.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting situation as well, too, where now everybody's going to report to each other and, apparently you're going to report to Mark Murphy.
Yeah,
and there's going to be open dialogue.
And I didn't know what to make of that. I think Packer fans will look deeper into it that Murphy is trying to do something different with the team.
Yeah.
I think he had the whole breaking down the silos, and you hear that a lot in corporate like marketing speak. You talk about, well, you don't want to get siloed. And I think what happened.
What does that mean?
Okay, so not to go all cube monkey on you, but when things get siloed, it's just like it's you and I. If we're working with a team, if we had a team of like 10, but you and I are the only decision makers and we're making decisions just between you and I and not telling the other 8 people and they're just kind of finding out on a whim,
uh-huh.
It creates a lot of drama and a lot of confusion. And they're like, oh, I thought we were supposed to be doing it this way. And you're like, no. And that is an example of getting siloed, and that is a marketing 101 lesson from Charlie Trichler. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There you go.
Tip my cap. So back to that, though. I think what happened with Thompson and McCarthy, and I think part of the reason Thompson reassigned himself, is I think it got bad with Thompson, Ball, and McCarthy in that they were struggling. They were siloed because they were jostling over guys, jostling over whether they should keep certain guys like Josh Sitton. Remember how upset Mike McCarthy was when Sitton got let go? He didn't really like keep it in. And granted, that worked out. Ted was right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think McCarthy just kind of got to that point where maybe Uncle Bob was wrong about saying he quit, but I think there were probably conversations McCarthy had with Mark Murphy that said, look, if these guys stay around, I don't know how much longer I can keep dealing with this shit. And I just need something different. And if it doesn't work my way, go ahead, fire me. Get rid of me. We can be wrong, but we have Aaron Rodgers. I think he's saying a lot of the stuff you hear from radio callers. We have Aaron Rodgers. I think if we do it this way, we can get to the Super Bowl. I don't want to be that involved, but I just want a guy who kind of understands my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think happened.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair of McCarthy. I think, people talk a lot about he's the guy who survived this, fire sale, so to speak, of the coaching staff and front office. I think he should.
Absolutely.
I think he's the one guy who he's – obviously, I think at this point you don't want to do anything to rock the cradle with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think if – that also means that's twofold because that means I think Rodgers gets along with McCarthy. They've had success together. But also you don't want Rodgers to be learning a new offense. Which could take, I know he's a very smart guy and all that, but he's still a football player.
Right.
And he's not, Albert Einstein. I'm probably going to take him half season to season. I just feel like, bringing in a whole new offense at this point is not ideal.
No, I don't think that's a wise move. And the Packers made a sound decision with their hire. And we'll,
I think so.
We'll see. And we'll see what will be. You got to work on Aaron Rodgers' contract. You got to work on restructuring Jordy and Randall or potentially releasing one of them. I think that is where you probably bring in Aaron Rodgers a little bit and you just say, okay, we're paying these three guys.
MFK. To,
well, kind of, right? Yeah. But it's like we're paying these guys too much money. We want to give you more money, but we also want to not deplete your – we may sign the guy. You know, our friend Murph looked, said, what about Sammy Watkins? I think that would be a smart move. I think there are other receivers that are – two or three guys, you know, they need speed guys. I think my two biggest takeaways from the playoff weekend were, man, the Jaguars really knew how to build a defense because they have guys like Jalen Ramsey.
I don't like Jalen Ramsey, but he's good.
Oh, you don't like Jalen Ramsey?
Well, I think he runs his mouth
too
much.
Oh, I love it. He's a good player. You know he's a Charlie-type player. That is right up my alley of cocky-ass dudes. I love it.
Miles Jack's cocky.
Another guy they drafted. Yeah, well, they got Kenny Clark instead. I'd rather have Kenny Clark, especially with Jack's knee injuries. But then they gave Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson big deals. They signed guys
all
like
free agency. I mean, that's crazy.
Right, and those guys got big deals. And then you sign a guy like Barry Church, which is a more of a savvy, like less money deal. So they've done it in multiple ways, traded for Marcell Dareus. And so that's kind of what I'm getting at is the Packers need to start looking. That's what I saw. And then when they don't have a game breaker like Ted Ginn, who can just completely flip a field with one play.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They haven't had that for years.
Nelson's can't do that anymore.
Right. And
he was that guy.
And Nagler had it last week saying that they have the slowest wide receivers in the league. And so I think that's where you come to Aaron Rodgers. Gutekunst comes to Aaron Rodgers and goes, okay, we have the slowest receivers in the league. We need speed demons. We're going to get rid of Geronimo Allison. We're probably going to get rid of Trevor Davis. But I need to know which of these two would you rather keep? And then I'm going to tell him and I'm going to talk to him about restructuring. I don't know if he's going to give Aaron Rodgers that much cachet, but as a first-year GM who probably doesn't want to ruffle the feathers with the franchise quarterback, I think he's going to try to ease it in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have some breaking news, Charlie, on the podcast.
Breaking news, Ellie Wolf.
Packers, per Adam Schefter, Packers now preparing to hire former Browns head coach Mike Pettine as their defensive coordinator.
Oh, boy. We got a little lucky today.
Breaking news on the pod.
The podcast gods have smiled upon us after Sunday getting screwed by having the Gutekunst news break hour after I posted. I get blessed as we were going to, I think, talk defensive coordinator first. We just kind of went with talking a little bit about the GM first, and we got lucky. This was very fortunate, and
it never works this way in the podcast.
It never does.
As anyone who records a sports podcast knows.
Listen, I would have had to actually do a daily tap tonight and just on Mike Pettine, and I would have been so fussy because I do look forward to the nights where I'm like, oh, I don't have to do anything. Like, it's just good. Like, it's a little less work on my end. Mm-hmm. So I would have been definitely more fussy than I am right now because I'd be like, oh, shit, we got to double up tonight. So Patton gets the job. He is an interesting guy. I think a lot of people will take jokes. He is the former Cleveland Browns coach, so people are going to take Browns jokes, and that's going to be popular with the pinheads.
Yep.
But little stuff on Patton. He has been out of football since 2015. I forget who said this, and I cannot think of who this was. It was a national guy that Patton was in Seattle last year just as a consultant. Like, he was just learning the defenses that the Seahawks were running. But he's been groomed under Rex Ryan in Baltimore, New York, and Buffalo. His defenses, I'm reading this right from Zach Krause, so give him credit. His defenses make it life hard on quarterback and take the ball away. He's tough and aggressive. So, and then this from Greg Matzik, that basically he's had a top 10 defense anytime he's had a defense. So they have been, you know, total defense, and that's a pretty encouraging number. So you definitely have to like that.
Yeah.
And you definitely have to get a little excited about that. And so take away from maybe the fact he wasn't that good of a head coach. And I know that that's going to be conjecture for people.
And Cleveland is a weird situation.
Too. Absolutely.
It's a bad situation. You can't necessarily go after a guy for, what did he coach, 2 seasons?
Yeah.
He but got you fired know, in just a shit show.
But you know the Pinheads are going to do that, baby. You know this is fodder for them. They're going to be like, what are you doing bringing a Browns coach in? It's not about the fact that he was a Browns coach, damn it. Right. He was a...
Can we give it like at least a preseason game before
absolutely.
before we lose it?
And guess what? They're going to have to start getting some pass rushers. Bye-bye, Kyler Fackrell. Bye-bye. Get off my team. Just like I said to DeAndre Liggins on Saturday, get the fuck off my team. Get off. Out of here. We're done. But yeah, it might mean, it probably means if you want to say, what does Mike Pettine mean?
Get the fuck
thank you.
Out.
What does Mike Pettine mean in the immediate? It probably means that Green Bay is going to look at an edge rusher in the first round. I think that's what it means. And if that means Harold Landry, who's a stud out of Boston College, give me all of it.
What about Roquan Smith?
I like Roquan Smith a lot. I don't know if he's going to be there. Rashawn Evans was another guy from Alabama. Gundekus has the SEC experience. He was there for 13 years. I don't think anyone's going to hate the fact that the Packers are going to go Southern in the draft. We'll see if that makes
a
difference.
Well, they keep taking these Cali guys.
Well, that is a thing, and I actually kind of...
They did under Ted, that is.
And like, you look at, like, Ozzie Newsome, who's an Alabama grad, and I don't know why I keep going back to the Ravens, but he drafts, like, all these great... He's hit on more Alabama guys than he's not hit on them, like C.J. Mosley. There's a few others, you know, that he had. Terrence Cody didn't work out, but C.J. Mosley is the one that I think...
Well, Terrence Cody was also 500 pounds.
Terrence Cody was a fat ass. He was a big boy. He was listed at
350, actually 450.
But like, and he's not coming. Oh, what's the, who's the defensive line? Is it Rashawn Evans? Might be Rashawn Evans.
Here's what I was thinking of. Sergio Kindle.
Remember
him?
He was
from Texas.
Yeah. But
he was a bust as well, I believe.
He screwed up his neck. So real insensitive on your behalf too.
So,
but Mike Pettine, I think, is a good hire. I think that's an aggressive hire. I think that's a guy who definitely will have a culture change. We'll see if guys stick around or if he's going to start bringing in some of
the Packer way will rub off on him and things will work out. You know.
So do you think that he's going to keep Winston Moss, Joe Witt, and Darren Perry?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess we'll find out, because if they do keep those guys, that means McCarthy did for sure win a power struggle, because I think that's his staff.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
I think
I don't know. I think that one, shouldn't Pettine have the right to get his secondary coaches, and I think
Pettine's going to get
defensive line coach, full
autonomy into making those calls. He's going to get full autonomy
Mark Murphy does, right?
Right. Yes, we all report to Mark Murphy these days.
Well, and I hadn't spewed my take that you told me to save yet either, but we'll get there.
And so I think Pettine will bring in his guys. Who knows? Maybe we get a Rob Ryan. What if we got Rob Ryan as a position coach?
That dude is really bad.
I know.
He's really
just
bad.
As a position coach. I just want Rob Ryan and Pack. I think it would be so funny to see. I don't really want Rob Ryan.
I know. I was listening to some show and somebody called in and said, what about Rob Ryan, defensive coordinator? And I about drove off the road. And if you like watching prevent defense, then
that would be just, oh my God, Packer fans would,
God
would
bless
riot.
You.
Oh, yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers would punch him. I literally think he might. There was a great story on Part of My Take about how Eric Mangini and Rob Ryan were supposed to go on a diet together, and they were all losing weight, and then Rob Ryan had like plateaued, and Mangini was still losing weight and didn't know why, and all of a sudden they're in the film
genius.
Late.
Forgot about him.
They're in the New England film room late, and all of a sudden he hears like crunching in Rob's office, and he just had bags of Doritos stored in his desk, which is such a Rob Ryan story.
Oh, that dude's a.
I love it. I love it.
He's got long hair now too.
Oh, he always has had long hair.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
So that's part
he's
of
like
it.
Him and Rex Ryan are twins.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Mike Pettine brings any Rex Ryan influences to Lambeau Field and. See about that. So that should be interesting. He also, too, which will be brought in, I think Zach Halpern pointed this out, who I think is on the land of 10. I don't know if that's their Zach, right? Apologize to him. But He made the comment that Jim Leonard
He's like a sports director at the radio station.
Oh, is
his
he?
Own, I
oh,
think.
Okay. I apologize. Sorry about that, Zach.
I believe.
So anyways, Zach made the point that a lot of the stuff Jim Leonard does with the Badgers is related to Pettine and Rex Ryan's defenses because those are the guys he played for. I think he coached under one or two of the or both of them. So that's something just to keep an eye on. So if you liked what the Badgers did, I think you're going to see some similar stuff,
yeah,
both in the college and the pro game.
Yeah, that's true.
So
and to that point too, the whole simple bringing up Jim Leonard as the Packers defensive coordinator with 2 years of college experience.
If you listen to yesterday's Daily Tap, I said, for anyone throwing out the Jim Leonard idea is, and I quote, a fucking loon. So that is,
yeah,
that is how it is. That is honestly a absurd idea that Jim Leonard, yeah, I think is going to get NFL looks.
I think he will, but it's going to be another year or two yet,
yes,
before and
yes,
of successful where you don't have nine seniors on defense,
right,
or whatever. And
yeah,
if he can carry the success into next year, I think definitely then he'll get,
yeah,
some type of looks.
I mean,
sure.
How about Dave Aranda getting $2.5 million from LSU? That's crazy money for a,
yeah,
defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Justin
nuts.
Wilcox is on his, what, second head coach job now?
Well, no, first, he's not with California. He just stayed with California.
Oh, I thought he got fired.
No. He had a good year. He had a decent year. Yeah. Bears are back. So.
And I'll give my take now because we can maybe segue this to Bucks talk.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to. I kind of brought this up in our group chat the other day that I just don't want, you know, this all the people I heard, you know, on the radio and stuff and via Twitter being thinking it's good that there's a lot of too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, in the Packers front office.
Right.
Probably the same people that think, you know, same old Bucks, blah, blah, blah. We don't know who's calling the shots. Well, that's kind of exactly what's happening right now because, you know, it's kind of similar. It was a I don't know if I wouldn't call the Packers GM hire messy. It wasn't as bad as the Bucks. Don't get me wrong. That was pretty horrible. But, you know, now it's in all the press conferences since then were, well, now everybody's reporting to Mark Murphy and they're keeping it open. We don't want to get siloed, all that, you know, keep an open dialogue. And I think that it's probably the best way to do it these days, really. I mean, I think you want your coach to have some say. I think you want other people to be and not have it be Iron Fist Ted Thompson. You know, everything about that organization is going through Ted Thompson.
I think
it's better to just have it that way. Now, and maybe it's just because of a Twitter world and everything where organizations are moving to this point where they're hiring less experienced people, younger guys.
Yep.
And maybe it's just because of the way we live, the way the world is now with social media. They don't want one guy just getting all the hate.
Yep.
And they want to keep it, you know what I mean? Like, they want to keep it to where you can't just blame one person. That's kind of what's happened with the Bucks. Now that John Hammond's gone,
yeah,
who else are you going to blame?
Right, and you blame Jason Kidd. I do want to call, that's like our segment Fireside Chats with Mitch or Mitch's Final Take. I don't know. We're going to figure out. That was a good.
Interesting that, like, don't talk out of both sides.
Don't throw stones.
Yeah.
Don't throw stones in that glass house.
Don't tell me it's great that the Packers do that and then say same old Bucks or something when, you know, it's convenient.
Right. We as fans look at both sides different. And, you know, we look at the Packers. We want to trust the Packers,
right,
because the Packers have shown us
They've
reasons
been successful
to believe.
For a long time.
But every time you trust the Bucks, they go and they lose by multiple. They get blown out by fucking Indiana. And you just ask yourself.
Pretty good, by the way.
Yes, Indiana is. And the Bucks. And I had tweeted out, I said, hey, this is the Bucks' third game in four nights. But
well,
if
I was fortunate enough to watch the game with my roommate last night. And before the game started, I said, we're going to get beat bad tonight.
You knew it.
You think so? I'm like, oh, yeah. But I say that every game. So, I mean.
But the thing is with the Bucks.
It's sad, too, isn't it?
Well, it is. Because here's the thing. They just can't develop any momentum. They're 21-18 with Giannis having arguably one of the best seasons in NBA history.
Right.
It is inexcusable what they're doing. It is just as inexcusable as what's going on with New Orleans, who has two all-star starters, and they're a 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, but they play in the West, Charlie.
The East
is such a great conference out there.
And the East is much better this year. If you're that is how you can spot an NBA pinhead, folks.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to spot an NBA pinhead, the ones who tell you the West is better than the East are full of shit, and that is exactly how you know that their knowledge of the NBA is nil.
Limited, yes.
So back to just the Bucks, and I think everyone's frustrated because it's like at some point you want to turn that corner, and it's just like you're running into this brick wall.
Yeah.
It never seems to change. And it's like, what has to happen? And Jason Kidd can't manage a bench to save his soul.
Yeah,
he doesn't know. He's so overwhelmed with all the guard choices, they just sticks with what he thinks works.
Well, I think if we're going to just talk about Monday night's game.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to you via text that, you know, that was a game where I think the way that game started, you needed to pull everyone out of your starting five and sit their ass on the bench at about halfway through the first quarter before that got away.
Yep.
And said, clearly you guys weren't ready to play. We're going to throw, you go, then you throw Delly, Sean Kilpatrick, Sterling Brown, hell, DJ Wilson, and I don't know, Thon, who's awful.
Yeah.
Out there and just say, you guys are going to watch for a few minutes.
Yeah, no.
And he did it against Minnesota. He did some weird, it wasn't exactly like a line change.
Right, because he knew they were hungover. And he got mad at him for being hungover. And he probably said, guys, don't get hungover before this game again is with John Henson. Don't get hungover for John Henson's birthday. Don't come here looking like you guys can go out and have your fun, but I better not see anybody hungover.
Right.
And so he didn't know what the excuse was this time, so he had no knowledge.
So yeah, he just rolled with everybody as... You know, it just, I mean, part of me felt like, okay, they can get back in this game and get it to like within 15 by the end of the third, you know, and the second quarter wasn't much better than the first quarter.
No, and it was just turnovers and lazy basketball. And it's like, and then you see guys like Sterling Brown and Sean Kilpatrick
come in and start just nailing threes. And
right.
It's like, if you would have just put them in the second quarter
and tried it out.
Yeah.
There's always
that chance of catching a microwave or like somebody who's going to hit three threes right away and just get you right back in the game.
What does Sean Kilpatrick have to do?
Like, I don't know.
Sean Kilpatrick's probably an eighth or ninth guy off the bench for most teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I know.
It's like Jason Kidd has this fetish with mid-range jumpers, and everybody in the NBA is shooting threes, and yet Jason Kidd is so stuck in his ways that he just can't get himself out of it, and he has to. Someone has to tell him, you have to start adapting, and there's no saving it.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to get fired. I think it would take a 9 or 10 game losing streak for him to get fired. I just don't see it happening. I know that if they lose to Orlando, which is very possible tonight, it's too perfect. The Bucks should blow them out. They should have no problem.
Right. Dallas played Tuesday night.
They're playing Dallas tonight.
Yeah, they're in Dallas. Orlando was in Dallas.
Orlando was in Dallas. Yeah, this went well.
I said there. Dallas was in there.
Yeah,
but,
I get it. That's all right.
So Orlando's on a back to back. The Bucks just got taken to the woodshed. So they're going to be They're going to be hungry. You would think.
Yes.
And again, Orlando has started 6-2, I believe, and now they're 12-28, pending what happens Tuesday night. So that's a rough couple months for Orlando.
And Orlando plays no defense.
Right.
And they have no defense.
Don't they have a defensive head coach?
Yeah. They play zero perimeter defense. And that it's just terrible. Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton,
this game tonight. This game tonight could be 135-130.
It could be. And let's be real, like they know that Golden State's there on Friday, and don't look past this Orlando team. Just do your job, win this game, and then maybe you can beat Golden State, and maybe that's what propels you. Because guess what? You have two games against the Miami team, who sometimes looks like the best team in the East and sometimes looks like dog shit. You never know which Miami you're gonna get. James Johnson's not there, so
sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. Miami's very similar to
but
Milwaukee.
The Bucks are so much more talent than Miami.
Absolutely, but
the difference is the coach.
Eric Spoelstra can do so many things that Jason Kidd cannot.
Right.
So I look forward to them playing twice and Jason Kidd getting coached out of a paper bag in both.
Mm-hmm.
So but I do want to address something because people are complaining that they're wasting a year of Giannis's prime. I don't think that's accurate at all. And Giannis is 22 years old. 23, excuse me. Steph Curry was wasted before we really knew Steph Curry was that good. Steve Kerr unlocked Steph Curry, but Steph Curry was wasted with Mark Jackson to the point where they nearly traded Steph Curry.
Yep.
And he had ankle injuries, all this stuff.
Steph Curry could be playing for the Bucks right now.
Yes, exactly. So the fact is like this whole idea that, oh my God, they have to make a change right now.
That is like the craziest thing to think about.
Is like, guys, I no problem being impatient. I'm impatient too. This should be a top four team in the East. Everyone looking at it from an outsider national perspective says this should be a top four team in the East. Yet, we also have to look at it like it's still okay if they're a 5 or 6 seed, but Jason Kidd's going to get fired, and we should just be okay with that and know that they're not going to go into a new arena with Jason Kidd.
I hate two people that are rooting for losses now.
Yeah.
Because they want Jason Kidd fired so bad. I can't stand that.
Yeah, and if you are that person, get the fuck off the bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Get out of here. We don't want you. I don't want you as a Bucks fan. Look, the only time I cheered for a Bucks loss was the Timberwolves game because I tweeted that the Bucks quit. And I didn't want to look like a dumbass. And guess what? I'm happy I was a dumbass. I'm happy they won that game. That was a great win. And
I'm glad you're not bitter.
I'm not bitter about it because competitive.
Because some of those Twitter tough guys would be.
They would be. Those are the same guys who tweet Alex Lazary like he gives a damn.
Yeah. Like he actually has say.
I've tweeted about I ranted about this like I think last.
I mean,
week.
I understand from their perspective that it. It's very close to the ownership, and, you know, I'm sure Alex Lazary has the pulse of Bucks fans. I mean, he sits on Twitter just like you and I do.
Do you think Alex Lazary reads, like, the angriest tweets he gets to, like, the other front office people and just laughs at it?
Probably.
You have to do it. Like, if I was Alex Lazary, I would set up a conference call.
He probably shows his dad.
No, I would. Every day... After a game, especially after a loss, they have a 10 o'clock sit down, and all right, goes, Dad, here are the 5 best tweets I got today. That's what I would do.
I'm sure he probably like copies them into a text.
That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do.
I think I would do that too. Now, I don't think you should. I hope they don't dismiss that. I hope they take some of it to heart.
No, I mean, because they don't care.
I think we
it's just the fans.
I think we all agree that Jason Kidd should be fired. But I also will, you know, at some point, soon, hopefully. But I will say, too, that I've thought about this, that, like, how much of it is, you know, for Bucks fans wanting Jason Kidd fired is just people hating everything and hating the coaches of every team they root for. You know, like, there's people probably in San Antonio that want Greg Popovich fired right now.
I don't know. I think there are certain...
Even though he's, like, pretty unanimously regarded as maybe the best coach in pro sports.
Well, I'll ask you this, and maybe it'll be different this year, and I know we're going to talk about Brewers in a second here, but not a lot of people really, like, want Craig Counsell fired. I think people got mad at Craig Counsell as the year went on last year.
Not right now.
And I think what happens is, you know, you give a guy a leash, and sometimes it's like right away, and it's like you want him gone because you can tell he's an idiot, like Hugh Jackson. But there are other guys where you're going to give him some time. And if you see some success and you see, okay, here's what he did, and you commend and what kind of has been Jason Kidd's theme is he has done the sort of got into the last part of the sort of, you know, sort of thing and made it happen. And so the whole idea is like the Bucks have figured it out in March and in February. They get on these hot streaks, get on these runs at the end of the year because that's just kind of what they do.
Well, that's it too, is that the Bucks, I'm not at meltdown mode yet because –
Look,
it is early. We're only halfway through the season,
right? And Bill, I was listening.
There's still 42 games left, or whatever.
I was listening to a old Bill Simmons, Kevin O'Connor podcast where it was like they were taking one thing from each NBA team. Bill Simmons very funny about the Bucks. He's like, Bucks Twitter is like the angriest place on earth right now. Like they all hate their coach. It was very funny. It was very therapeutic to listen to.
I gotta check that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'll tell you which it is offline here. And then the other thing about it was, you know, he made the comment basically saying that this really doesn't matter. Like once we start getting into February, late January, February, or up to that All-Star break, that's when it matters. And if you look at the Bucks schedule, and I'm going to be wrong about this because I looked at it and I don't have it on me, but they play like something like 11 of 13 against teams with sub 500 records after next Saturday, starting next Saturday against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And now some of these teams, and so you look at it and you're like, wow, this schedule actually gets pretty easy for Milwaukee.
But we can't beat the Bulls.
No. But here's the thing. If you don't take advantage of that, then I think there is legitimate causation to wonder if Jason Kidd should be your coach after the All-Star break. I think you have to take a long look.
Yeah, you're
because
right,
that is where you get hot. There is a window there to get hot.
Yeah.
And if you don't take advantage of that window, then just go, you know.
Whatever, like, there's, like, 15 games left between the All-Star, or between that Philly game Bucks only have 20 games till the All-Star break or so. And out of those, I'd say probably, 12 or 13 of those 20 are under 500 teams.
Yes.
I mean, you have a stretch here. It's at Philly, Phoenix, Brooklyn, Chicago.
Right.
Philly again, at Minnesota, going to be tough.
Yeah.
The Knicks, at Brooklyn, at the Knicks again, Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Denver.
Yeah.
And then you go, and then it's the All-Star break.
That is a time to kill right there. That is a really, really important part of the season. And we'll talk more about it as the weeks go on. But, you know, get it done tonight. You know, if the Bucks can go 2 of 3 in the next four, I think we're happy, because you say, well, Golden State, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
They've played well at home. They've beaten Golden State there. The teams don't like each other. I think Golden State's going to turn up for this. Draymond Green being the little bitch that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Draymond Green other than when he plays the Bucks, and I can't stand him. I think I'd hate Draymond Green if the Bucks played him more than twice a year. So,
yeah, totally.
But it's only a twice a year thing, so I just don't. No skin off my ass. BC will be rocking, though. It'll be a lit crowd Friday night. People will be well lubricated. I'm sure it is a hard ticket to get.
Yeah, I looked at our friends at SeatGeek.
Not like, a sponsor of this podcast. This is the only podcast they don't sponsor.
It's up to like 87 to walk in.
Oh, that's good. That's good, though. That's good. You need that. Hopefully there'll be way more Bucks fans than there are Warriors fans. I expect that to be the case. I know there will be.
We don't really have that issue as much as we used to.
No, because of Giannis. It's completely.
Right.
And then the Bucks will do the bandwagon cam, which is super funny, and they'll just shame all these people for wearing Warriors
gear.
That's
great.
It's awesome. No, the Bucks operations team does such a good job.
People have copied that.
I know.
Since.
But yeah, absolutely. So, finishing up with a little bit of Brewers talk, since it's like no one's talking really about baseball because the hot stove is about as quiet can get. And the way this has been trending today, it's like we're going to get Lorenzo Cain news breaking. So last week it was reported that Jerry Krasnick reported the Brewers were looking at Lorenzo Cain. And a lot of people kind of were like, what? Like, I think everyone liked Lorenzo Cain, but everyone was kind of like, what are you talking about? Yes, that is the hot stove.
The hot stove right now.
That is the hot stove. It's crickets. It's nothing. And John Heyman actually made the point, and before I go back in the lands of Kane, John Heyman made the point about how the reason the hot stove is so quiet is because a lot of these guys are analytic guys. Also, the free agency market next year is bananas, so they're trying to think, how are we going to do this? Because Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, there's a couple other names. Clayton Kershaw could potentially be a free agent next year. There are some big, big names next year. Josh Donaldson, I think, is another one. So it's like, how are we going to manage this? And I think you combine the analytics and you combine the how are we going to manage your money. And so people are really struggling with it right now.
Yeah, and you obviously hear these rumors, too, about Manny Machado. And
yeah,
that everybody's afraid to trade for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I were the Baltimore, I would be so pissed off. I would be so pissed off as a Baltimore fan. I think Machado is probably like their Ryan Braun at this point. He is a guy who's been, with the team and has been really good and kind of came up through their organization. But if I was an Orioles fan right now, I'd be so pissed off, because all he's doing is cock blocking the future of the team.
Right.
And they won a couple things with him. They've made the playoffs. It's not like Machado staying there for 1 year a year is going to make a difference. They're not winning a World Series.
They're screwing him, too, because it's like Paul George, basically.
Absolutely. It's the exact same thing.
So now the Orioles are either going to let him have him walk for nothing or trade him for pennies.
I think you just have to let him walk for nothing. Unless you have a talented enough front office that says these guys are under the radar, they're being undervalued.
Well, like Indiana.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
that move has worked great for them.
It's literally the exact same thing. He is baseball Paul George. That's a very astute take by you, Mitchell. That was better than anything you've said. That's totally. You say a lot of good things, but that was really good. I never thought of it that way.
That's what it is. I mean,
no, you're absolutely right.
You got to try to. You know, we all laughed at what Indiana got for Paul George, and. I mean, yeah,
Kevin
they don't
Pritchard,
have any star players. But
Kevin Pritchard put up the two. I think Victor Oladipo's an all-star.
He's not a superstar, but he's probably going to make the all-star team.
He's revived that Pacer fan base, though.
Well, and obviously they beat this to death on the broadcast that Victor lost 20 pounds, which I didn't realize, and that's why he's shooting great.
Yeah.
He's more athletic. He can move better.
Yeah, he's a hell of a talent.
Yeah, I mean,
he was drafted as the second pick overall, which is crazy.
In the Giannis draft, yeah. So he's the second best player in that draft, thank you very much. But So anyway,
yes.
So he's in that. The Orioles are in that situation though, where
yeah,
if they want to move Machado, they're going to have to do it for a lesser package than what they should get.
Right, and so back to the Brewers, you know, and that's part of the hot stove. And so the Brewers started to at least have conversations about it because there was potential Lorenzo Cain. And if you look at Sport Rack, they were saying his contract's about 4 years, $60 million. And he's 32 years old. A lot of people are going to say, well, Carl Crawford got these big deals and Jason Hayward got a big deal. And Jacoby Ellsbury, all guys who profile into similar styles as Lorenzo Cain with who've done it with speed and defense. Mike Perello of MLB.com said, not so fast, my friends. Here are all these other outfielders that had similar styles and but had the hitting strength of Cain. Perello's point was that Lorenzo Cain has been on a tear from a hitting perspective and that this is okay and that these guys kind of have staying power for 1 or 2 years, maybe three. They might lose their opportunity to play outfield. He best profiles as a Torii Hunter who got 5 years, $90 million. And he made this all point, and I was like, yeah, go get him. For 4 years, $60 million, that's fine.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that. And then looking at who are you going to deal to go get a frontline starter, because that's basically the plan.
I think you have to trade Domingo.
You know what? I've become more a fan of trading Domingo than I thought I would be because of the fact that he just can't really play any defense.
He's a weird outfielder. Yeah.
He's a really bad defender. And
he misjudges balls all the time.
And you could argue that he could have
he's kind of aloof.
Yes, and he could be the 2018 version of Johnny VR.
Yeah.
Where I think Stearns, if you were to ask Stearns, what's your biggest regret?
Well, I think last year was going to be more the exception than the norm.
Yeah, but I think Stearns would regret not trading VR. I really think he would regret. I don't think it would be keeping Scooter Gennett pinheads. I think it was just he regrets probably
not selling
because he could have got a lot.
He got
VR
for nothing, and he could have got him for in a team with the situation the Brewers were in this time last year.
Yeah.
It would have been great to get a couple more prospects for
right,
VR.
Right, exactly. Mean, it and then,
but, of course, hindsight's 20/20. We were sitting here thinking, okay, and, VR just stole 65 bases.
Right, and we would have done a podcast
he's 25
like 25
or 26 years old.
Yeah,
like,
we're like, I don't want to criticize David Stearns. Like, but what is he doing? That would have been what we were saying. That would have been the podcast last year at this time.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's tough. And David Stearns, I knows what he's doing. And if it means that you're going to get this and trade Domingo. And if you could trade Domingo and not trade Brinson, trade him for Chris Archer or Jacob DeGrom or whomever else,
yeah,
it would be amazing.
And, I mean, Stearns has such a grasp on
Marcus Stroman's another guy who would be, I think, in the mix.
I would like that. Stearns has such a grasp on, like, advanced stats and stuff, and I think baseball.
Yeah, he's so smart.
Baseball is such a numbers game compared to the other sports because
right.
the season is so long
yep.
that you can look at a guy, you can literally look at their splits or whatever and yep. be like, this guy's good, you know, because the season, you know, you can, like, on Moneyball, you know, I mean, on base percentage and all that stuff.
I will say that nothing has made me smarter about a baseball fan than playing Daily Fantasy and listening to, like, podcasts and learning, like, how guys are better against right-handers or guys are just lefty specialists. Or this guy, like, Chacin, who we really never even talked about, who signed with the Brewers, has a really big problem with giving up home runs to left-handers, and that might be an issue at Miller Park. That was something I learned because he was a guy that I would use on load up left-handers against him.
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's such a stupid thing to, like, get smarter up, but it made me smarter because I knew more tendencies. And I think that's the thing about baseball is certain guys have tendencies, and that's the real difference from just the normal, here's the eye test to here are this guy who does well against sliders. He crushes this slider. So he's going to get a ton of sliders for this pitcher. It's a whole thing. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully there's some moves happening in baseball. I miss the hot stove. We got to get the hot stove hot. Get it hot.
It's been quiet lately.
We're awakening the echoes. Okay, we're about to go, but we didn't talk once about the NFL playoffs, which we'll leave for Daily Tap. Who do you like this weekend? Just quick
well,
hot.
I mean, what's the spread going to be, New England, Tennessee?
13.
Is it 13?
Yeah.
That's a big spread. I don't know. I still think New England wins that game.
Load up on New England. Just be fine. I love the Eagles +3 against the Falcons.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think the Eagles are going to win. I I think people are blowing way too much smoke on that Falcons ass. Yeah. We've seen it all the time. I get people like, oh, they're coming together. No way. And we are all New Orleans Saints fans. I hope Mitch and I are playing Paul Allen drops next week. And then I think the Jags can beat Pittsburgh. I don't know why, but I am all in on the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, now I am. Now I'm all Jags.
All Jags. We're jagging off, baby.
Blake Bortles is terrible.
The Bortles. Bortles. All right.
Blake Mitch.
For Mitch, I'm Charlie. You guys have a good week. You know where to find us. SnowtapWI. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Mitch Ross, MKE on his Twitter. And subscribe to us on iTunes. We give you a podcast each day. Maybe give us a 5-star rating. You know, be nice. All you can do. Okay, I got to go. See ya.
See ya.